Acts 16. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing, begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them.
It's very, very special to be here with you this morning, dear brothers and sisters. Fairfield is too special to us and to me as well. Well, this morning, I would like really to just go through this text and together explore some of the, I think, lessons we might learn from this story, this short story. But before that, I would like to present a sort of Mexican paradox. Last year, 2021, the Mexican government released the data from the latest census. The census took place along the 2020, during the pandemic, actually. And they managed to finish the census, and then last year they released the data. And it turned out that we are, well, in Mexico, there are a bit more than 126 million people living in there. Yeah? 126 million people. And one of the questions when they surveyed the people was, what is your religion? I still remember that question where they knock at the door. And in the end, the government did classify the information, and they have these categories. But it's possible to look at them. The majority of them identify themselves as Christians, or some sort of historic expression of Christianity. So as you may see, between the Catholic people and the Protestant evangelicals, they almost make up the 19% of the population. So we could say that almost 9 out of 10 people living in Mexico identify themselves with some sort of historic expression of Christianity. And yet, part of our daily reality in Mexico is that we face this level of violence in Mexico, especially homicide. And since 1997, there is a government agency that has been tracking this data, sadly, how many people are killed in Mexico, especially people that's been killed because of some issues with organized crime, really. And so since 1997, you might see the numbers and going up and down, but especially the last years, the last 3 or 4 years, they've been up and up and up. So it's terrible. I mean, these numbers really belong to a situation where you have a civil war, but that's not the case yet in Mexico. But this is part of the reality, daily reality in Mexico. In addition to that, last year, another agency from the government, they released this information about the measurement of poverty, the levels of poverty among the population in Mexico. And sadly, the level of poverty has increased. So more people living in poverty, that level has increased, especially people living in, it's called extreme poverty or abject poverty, maybe that's the term. But yeah, that's been the case. So obviously, when you see those that information, you may conclude this. Surely there is a gap between what we as a country believe, or presumably believe, and what we actually do. There is a gap between our creed and our ethos or our ethics. A gap between the mind and the heart, if we presume to be some sort of Christians. And with that in mind, then I would like to consider just three points in regards to this text. The first point I would like to highlight is mission. The mission work is a partnership in the law that comes out in this passage. Because Paul, when Paul came from Athens to Corinth, he met there a couple, a Jewish and a Roman couple that is now in Corinth, because the Roman emperor expelled the Jews in that year from Rome. They expelled them from Rome. So Paul come across them, and it turned out that they do what they do, what Paul's does, and then he joined them, and so he started to work for them. They had the same sort of business trade, but also together, this couple and Paul, they worked together for the gospel. That comes clear in Romans 16:3. So that's one couple. But then came Silas, I can't remember, and Timothy. They joined them. They joined them as they came from the other Greek Roman province, Macedonia. And finally, we have the locals. We read in the text that the neighbor of the synagogue, he became a Christian, and also the leader of the synagogue became a Christian. So those were the local people, and so together they start this partnership in the Lord, working together for the Lord. So
we're sort of going to be doing an interlinking of the teaching with some of our own experience, and As I mentioned earlier on in the first part of the service, the Lord led us through various circumstances to plant a church in Puebla. And one of the decisive factors was this issue of having close relationship, of feeling some sort of partnership, in particular with Avi and Miri, who in this picture in particular are in the computer because they, for work reasons, they had to move away. But they joined the leadership meeting through Zoom, so that's how they feature in this picture in particular. But also, then there's been addition in partnership in this work with other young people who have joined the leadership team in the church. And so there you see Benjamin, who's the other young man sitting at the table with us, and Carla, who is actually a student worker with IFES in Puebla. And then also recently, Erica, who's in the little bubble added on top of the picture, she joined the team as well when she married Benjamin in October. But also, we've also experienced other types of partnerships in working with IFES during camps and Fabian in particular gets invited very often to share Bible teaching in different events that they run for students or the leaders of students or indeed the student workers themselves as part of the training. Fabian also contributed to the, worked in, with a team of people to by contributing some articles for a Bible commentary that was published in Spanish a couple years ago. And finally, this last couple of years, he's been asked to teach some online courses for the online masters training pastors, mostly who are already working as pastors, and they just want to grow their knowledge. But also, we've had always since we left, even before we were in full-time ministry, a partnership with Fairfield, and that's a way in which all of these things together helped us to understand this was the right thing because we had all this network of people to work with, because the Lord's mission is a mission, is a partnership. That's the way he wants things to be. And we are always very encouraged and grateful, all of the mission partners who are in relationship with Fairfield, to see that Fairfield continues this time-honored tradition in the Christian tradition, it's from the times of Paul, to continue to partner with people in mission all around the world. Christianity was a global enterprise before any other global enterprise existed. So we're really grateful for that.
Thank you. Our second point, or my second point, is that mission work is the work of the Lord. The city of Corinth, obviously, was a Greek city built on the ideal of the Greek city, which is that means at the top of the hill there was this the city of the gods called Acrocorinth, and then at the bottom of the hill was properly the city that was the Greek city of Corinth. But then the Romans came, and at some point they destroyed the city because Corinth rebelled against the Romans. And a century later, Julius Caesar decided to rebuild the city as a Roman colony. And by the time Paul came into Corinth, that's the middle of the first century AD, the city was also a center of the call to the emperor, the Roman emperor. So this is a city where with a strong a pagan culture, really. And we can see that if you look at the letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians in particular, that comes out clearly, that the strong pagan culture in the city of Corinth. And there was also a Jewish community there. And in that situation, in that context, is when the gospel of Jesus came in. It burst into that city. And you can feel the impact of the gospel of Jesus when we read a text like 1 Corinthians 8, 5 and 6. I would like to read, actually, 1 Corinthians 8. I have it here. 1 Corinthians 8, 5. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Yes, that's one thing. And the other thing is that during his lifetime as a Christian, Paul had a number of visions of the exalted Jesus. And actually the one from today's reading is one of them. He had one in on his way to Damascus or in Jerusalem, in Corinth, and again in Jerusalem, among others. So the point I would like to highlight from that vision is that Jesus reassures Paul of his presence. And the words Luke uses for this message from Jesus to Paul in Greek are ego eimi meta sum, which literally means I am with you. I am with you. And surely Paul, when he heard these words from Jesus, they resonate with the story of God's people in the Old Testament. Those are precisely the words God used when he spoke to Jacob. Jacob had this dream. You might remember this famous passage in Genesis chapter 28. Jacob had this dream, and during that dream, he heard these words from God, I am with you. And also, these are the same words that are recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 31, just before the people of Israel is about to begin their journey into the promised land. These are the same words that people of Israel, or what was left of them, they are about to return from the exile. And now, in addition to that, these are the same words the resurrected Jesus and the exalted Jesus at the end of Matthew chapter 28 are the same words Jesus tell to his disciples. Go to all the nations, make disciples, and baptize them. And he uses the same words, ego, eimi, meta, but instead of you singular, he uses a you plural. I am with you. These are the same words. And therefore, I just like to say that in the mission work, it is important to have this reassurance from the Lord. The Lord is, the reassurance of his presence, of his protection, and his blessing, because he told Paul that he had a great many people in Corinth. So he must keep going. He must keep doing what he's doing in spite of difficulties or challenges. And that's important for us today.
Yeah, and so the text talks about Paul in the pagan context of Corinth, and each place has its own challenges in its context. And as you know, as we highlighted at the beginning of this talk, in Mexico, one of the biggest challenges is violence, the high levels of violence. All sorts of terrible things happen throughout the country all the time, but it's important to know that because the work is the Lord's work, none of these are barriers to what God is doing. Can you move on? And people come to know the Lord despite of the challenges in the culture. And that's important to note, not just for our situation, but also for the situation here in Northwood Hills, in Britain in general. The cultural challenges here are different, but they're still, sometimes we can feel them as such big obstacles. They seem to be such big obstacles for us to perhaps share about Jesus or to live or to speak out in his name. But the reality is that because the mission, the work of mission is God's work, there are none of these obstacles are going to stand in the way. In that text that we read, Jesus tells Paul that there's many people I have in this city still. Despite the opposition that he was encountering, the Lord was calling people in those places. And so whatever context we're in, whatever the obstacles we may feel, if the Lord has people in that place, those obstacles are not going to stand in the way. And that's the same over there as it is here, because in reality, there's only one mission in the whole world. It's all the same. It's one Lord, it's one big mission, and we all partners in it together.
Well, I'll move to my final point. The mission work is about teaching the word of the Lord. At the end of that vision Paul had from the exalted Jesus, the text says that Paul focused on the teaching of the word among them, among the community in Corinth, the Christian community. And also in a previous few verses back, the text also says that Paul was really witnessing to the word. That's the expression in Greek, actually, the way it's translated. So the word is key. It's important. It is proclaimed. It is taught. Whether we proclaim the word, that's what we teach and what we live up to with the help of the Spirit. And that's why it's needed in order to build up a strong community, especially in a pagan culture, as was the case in Corinth. And with that in mind, we would like to highlight another point.
The point is that it's the word of God that actually offers the people in whatever context, in whatever setting, an answer to the challenges they face and the truth about themselves and about the world. And so we found that it's a bit amazing, really, because you start simply teaching the Bible and you don't, you know, sometimes we're in a culture where we're looking to find methods and ways of getting people to trust Jesus or whatever. But in reality, if you faithfully teach Scripture, because it's the Lord's work, and He has people already set apart for Himself, they are called to Him by the Word. And some of the young people that we've met, simply, you know, that we are not a very trendy church by any means, in terms of, you know, like nothing like Hillsong or anything like that. But just the word itself has something for those who expose themselves to it. And so, whatever way you do it, whether it's in a creative way, whether it's online, whether it's together reading the Bible, whether it involves a lot of Greek and Hebrew, which we'll always do in the case of Fabian when he preaches, It's the word that calls people to the Lord. And so we want to encourage, and also the word itself challenges the culture around us with truths sometimes that are not popular. In our culture, the fact that we live in a system that is basically so corrupt that most crime goes unpunished, the scripture, the word of God, says some truths about that, also judges that situation, but it ultimately offers hope that one day ultimate justice will be shared out by the Lord himself, and that actually is a source of great hope for a lot of Mexicans who have put their trust in Jesus. In a culture like here in the UK and in many other cultures, where we could say is becoming the culture is becoming more pagan in a way, that though no gods are no idols are worshipped, but other types of idols are worshipped. The word of God challenges in ways that might not be popular in the culture, but at the end of the day, it's God's word, no more nor less, that's going to carry out this transformation in people. The word has answers for people's questions, answers that he gives. They're his answers, God's answers, not ours, and we must teach and proclaim it and simply watch it transform people's lives. And obviously, at the center of that all is the message of Jesus himself and how he transforms people. And so, to conclude, we just want, more than a conclusion, it's a set of prayer points, really. And it's that we would ask all of, well, a good thing would be to pray that all of us will continue this, first of all, this time-honored tradition in Christian mission, the partnership in the Lord that goes beyond borders, beyond language, beyond ethnicity, and that we should have this real experience as just one mission. Second point is that we should see beyond the challenges and the obstacles of our context and focus on the work that the Lord is doing, knowing that he still has many people to call to himself. And that in reality, there's no situation that's an obstacle that can stand up to the Lord. And thirdly, this final point, that we would faithfully proclaim and teach the word of the Lord with all its implications for our own lives, for the wider context, and then simply sit and witness the transformation of many lives, including our own. And those are the three things we wanted to share with you from this text of Paul, applied both to our reality in Mexico, but also here, because there's just one mission, one Lord of us all, the Lord Jesus Christ.